Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Thank you. We're awake out there. Well, welcome to God's house this morning, and we're going to have a wonderful time as we see the children's pageant that they've been working hard on over the last several weeks. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, is it? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Just a few announcements this morning. You'll see on the table in the foyer that Donna has created the devotionals that will be used for Christmas Day. It looks like this. So if you're not going to be joining us on Christmas Day, we encourage you to take a copy of that today, share it with your family on Christmas Day, and enjoy it with them. Otherwise, this will be the devotional that we will go through on Christmas Day. And my announcement about kettles. Is Don here? Yeah, Don is here. He was sharing with me this morning that we're at about $36,000 in our target. Our goal is $100,000, and things are ramping up. Costco is now open to us, and so if you are thinking about volunteering for kettles, we would certainly appreciate you signing up after the service and giving of your time, which I know so many of you have, and we appreciate that. And so we just want to make sure that we hit that goal of $100,000. We're pretty much where we should be right now, but we really need to make sure that we have those kettles covered.
Well, here we are, third Sunday of Advent, right? Children's program. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. We're moving along, aren't we? Well, this is a Christmas carol time of season, so we're going to sing one. A good one to get our meeting started off with, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Is that right? Are you ready with it? All right, we'll get it up on the screen there. And I'm lost without a pulpit, so do you mind me just putting this down here like this? All right, here we go. Let's stand and sing this great song. And it's a wonderful song for the children. Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Together. God, our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we who are gathered here today, we are as our congregation, we heard it when the message was shouted from the mountain. We heard it and we've responded to it, and we thank you for your Son Jesus, O God. Today, as we watch the children present the Christmas story to us, may our hearts be filled again, Father, even in a new way, with the wonder of the virgin birth. The wonder that your Son, Jesus, left the glories of heaven and came down to the dark world to provide the way of salvation for us. Help us to be filled with wonder anew. Thank you for those who bring their children to church and for those teens who come to our church, O God. May they continue to grow in their faith. Thank you for their leaders. Thank you for their teachers. And may they continue to grow in their faith and take their own places in our congregation, O God. So I pray you will bless our time this morning. Fill our hearts and our minds with your presence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first Advent candle represents our everlasting God and his promise of a Savior, and our response to spread this news by giving praise to God. The second candle represents the humanity of Jesus, as well as his divinity, and our response to spread the news that all who accept him become children of God. Today, we have lit the third candle, which represents the gifts of the wise men. And now together, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not much is known about the Magi or wise men, but one thing that is known is that when they finally found Christ after a very long journey, they presented significant gifts to him. Gold is a precious metal, suitable for a king. The scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would be a true king. And now together. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Frankincense is perfume or incense, something used by a priest. The scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would be our perfect high priest. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Myrrh was an anointing oil suitable for embalming the dead. The scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would suffer and die. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The third Advent candle represents the prophetic gifts of the wise men. And it represents that all who accept Christ come into a personal relationship with him as our King, High Priest, and Savior. Let us respond as the wise men did, by giving him our worship and adoration. Let us bring our own gifts that can be used to help others come to Christ.
Advent reading.
I'd ask the ushers to please come forward as we continue to worship God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. At the birth of Jesus, the angels sang a joyful song. The shepherds obeyed the angels' call. The wise men bowed down to worship him. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May we offer our own treasures to him this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, during this special season, grant us the wisdom of the wise men who found a token in a star, worshipped the child as the new king, and placed gifts at his feet. May our offerings and tithes be given in a meaningful act of worship in recognition of the sacrifice of your Son for our salvation. More than money, we bring our hearts, souls, and bodies to be dedicated to your service and to show our gratitude for your precious gift of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Patrick. Magnificently played. Thank you so much. Now it's time for you to sing, and we're going to start preparing the stage and for all that's going to come along here. We're going to sing a carol, Mary's Boy Child. One of the things I really like about Christmas carols is that you don't have to, or a lot of Christmas, you don't really have to read the biblical account because you see it in so many of our carols. And this is one of those carols that really tells a story of the angels and shepherds. And it's to a bit of a calypso beat. Are you ready for that? You know, you can move around. Just don't hurt yourself, okay? But we're going to stand and we're going to sing Mary's Boy Child. Wonderful carol. And then after we'll have the group children get ready or do whatever they have to do to prepare. So let's have a good sing on this.
Thank you.
sing this one and really kind of stand still, can you? Like, this isn't one of the standing still kind of Christmas carols. You can wiggle a little bit. You can groove a little bit. You can move a bit and have a bit of fun with this. And because, you know, one of the great things, when I grew up in the Salvation Army, I was not allowed to dance. And yet, we've come a long way, haven't we? It's a beautiful expression of worship. We shouldn't be afraid to dance in our pews. And so after we sing this, we're going to kind of start the session, start our program with a dance number, Carol of the Bells by Jamie and Alana. So we're going to sing this, we're going to dance a bit, and then we're going to worship and dance with Jamie and Alana. Let's have a good go on these last two verses, and don't be afraid to move. Here we go.
In Bethlehem town, a long time ago, a baby was born God loves to show. The shepherds all worship, the angels did sing, for it was the birth of Jesus the King.
The birthday of a king. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
What are you talking about?
A king. Don't you think of satin, velvet, crowns, jewels, and royalty?
It wasn't like that at all. As a matter of fact, this birth was anything but glamorous.
No chariots?
Emperor Augustus had ordered a census. Joseph had to go from Nazareth to Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea because it was the birthplace of King David, and Joseph was one of his descendants. It was a long trek.
But they must have had a chariot.
Nothing like it. We're not sure if Mary, Joseph's wife, walked or rode a donkey, but she was pregnant and probably arrived exhausted. And when they finally got to Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her baby.
Wow. And they didn't have cars, planes, or taxis. Bet they didn't have motels either.
No. And when they finally got to Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her baby.
Uh-oh. No hospitals. I take it. Maybe I'll stop complaining about some of my less than stellar birthdays.
Good idea. But even in the midst of all the dust and mud and walking for what must have seemed like forever, good things were beginning to happen. It started in the outlands outside the city limits where shepherds were watching over their flocks by night.
But Mary and Joseph didn't know about this. They had even more problems to face down. The town of Bethlehem did have an inn, but when Joseph tried to get a room, there weren't any. The inn was full.
But a strange thing happened. That innkeeper couldn't turn his back on the couple from Galilee. He had already turned a dozen people away that day, and it didn't bother him, but something about this couple did.
Why can I put that couple off of my mind? I've got all of these workers. I have plenty to do myself, and my inn is completely full. But why can't I stop thinking about them? First of all, she looked very tired. It was obvious that she was very pregnant, and the way the man was pleading. But it's more than that. There's an aura that says that they have a secret. That they know something that no one else in the whole world knew. That something monumental is about to happen that changed the world forever. I still have that strange feeling that I just can't explain, as if this is, as something monumental is about to happen, as if this woman is going to give birth to no ordinary baby, but, well, a king. That sounds ridiculous, but he will never be a king. His father is a carpenter from Galilee. But I just can't help feel but this is no ordinary baby in no ordinary situation. I can't stop thinking about the man's eyes. He wanted me to understand. I think he wanted me to understand something that he was not able to explain. I feel this urgency to do something. They need a shelter, a roof over their head, and a place to sleep away from the chill winter cold air. But I can't turn people down and offer them a room. The stable! Why didn't I think of that before? If only I can catch him. Joseph! Joseph from Galilee!
So this king wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable.
That's right.
But if this baby is really a king, shouldn't people know? Shouldn't trumpets be blowing? Or shouldn't a display of lightning announce his birth?
God announced his birth with a star.
A star.
A star so bright, no one knew what to make of it. People all over the world saw it. Some recognized it as a message of God, but others had no idea what it meant.
Twinkle, twinkle. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, bringing wise men from afar, bringing shepherds to their knees, bringing hope for centuries. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, what a wondrous sight you are.
And there were actually many shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men." Back in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had no idea about this. All they knew was that the innkeeper had a sudden change of heart.
Let me guess. He gave them the best room in the whole place.
Sorry again. He felt bad for them, Mary being pregnant and all, but he wasn't about to kick somebody out for them. He told them they could go stay in the barn.
You're kidding.
Unfortunately not. Mary had been visited by an angel who told her she was going to give birth to a savior. At this point, she probably thought she had hallucinated.
We're talking sharing your bed with a cow.
And a mule and a couple of sheep, probably some squawking chickens.
What a mess.
Yes and no. Mary had been through a lot already. She was very tired, but it's likely that she felt that peace. That peace that passes all understanding when you know good things are coming.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born.
Taught us to love one another.
king, born in a stable, sleeping in a manger, wearing rags. Anybody who would have found him in the manger might have considered him a pauper.
I think God made sure that didn't happen. That's why he sent the angels and the star. I think he wanted people to know that this prince was real, but different.
The Bible predicted this night for thousands of years. Some people were wise to it.
Three wise men from the east looked for the star and followed it. They found the Savior wrapped swaddling in clothes and lying in a manger. There was Balthasar, who brought the gift of gold.
Melanchthon brought frankincense, and Casper brought the gift of myrrh. Now I think I see the meaning of all of this. Born in a stable, a manger for a bed. Everything about this baby was humble as it could be. I think it meant that he was going to be a truly different kind of king and a different kind of leader.
And I think this is what the Christmas story is all about.
This night, so tiring, so painful, so historic, and so unforgettable, shows us what royalty really is. Jesus would grow up and say, "He who is last will be first. He who is first will be last." He proved it to us this night.
What more can we say?
You're doing great, guys. Let me sum it up for you. Nearly 2,000 years ago, in an obscure village, a child was born of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked as a carpenter until he was 30. Then, for 3 years, he became an itinerant preacher. This man never went to college or seminary. He never wrote a book, he never held a public office, and he never had a family or owned a home. He never put his foot inside a big city or even traveled 200 miles from his birthplace. And though he never did any of these things that usually accompany greatness, throngs of people followed him. He had no credentials but himself. While he was young, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His followers ran away, and he was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was sentenced to death on a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on this earth, the simple coat he had worn. His body was laid in a borrowed grave provided by a compassionate friend. But 3 days later, this man rose from the dead, living proof that he was, as he had claimed, the Savior whom God had sent, the incarnate Son of God. 19 centuries have come and gone today, and the risen Lord Jesus Christ is a central figure of the human race. On our calendars, his birth divides history in two eras. One day of every week is set aside in remembrance of him, and our two most important holidays celebrate his birth and resurrection. On church steeples around the world, his cross has become a symbol of victory over sin and death. This one man's life has furnished the theme for more songs, books, poems, and paintings than any other person or event in history. Thousands of colleges, hospitals, orphanages, and other institutions have been founded in honor of this one who gave his life for us. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the governments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the course of history as much as this one solitary life. Let's stand and sing Hark the Herald Angel.
Let's give these kids a hand, shall we? This has been a fantastic, fantastic event. Please be I just want to, in a moment, we're going to stand and sing the last carol. I'll ask the band to take their places above here. But we do want to say a tremendous thank you. You saw Charlotte and Jamie and Alana. Jamie and Alana. I'm a senior, okay? Sitting here guiding these kids through this, and they've been rehearsing with them. We're so grateful. And also, Elise, you were out there prompting, and all of the people that helped with the costumes. And let's give them a hand, shall we? We're so thankful to you. They pulled it off so very, very well. Guys, you did great. And we're gonna conclude this time together with the carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful, with the help of the band. You know, just before you do that, my wife was sitting there, and she looked around, and she says, isn't this a beautiful sight? Church, people of God, soak this sight in, our children telling the Christmas story. It's a call. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Let's behold him today. The merry message that these beautiful children have portrayed. Let's sing that great carol. Thompson Hall. Can you imagine that? In the 2000, you were there last, yes, okay, I've sung there too. And we're going to imagine that you're there. And you're going to really imagine that I'm Major Lynn Valentine, conducting the mass chorus. And you're going to watch me as I give directions, right, man? I'll stand over here, and we're going to look at the temple, but I particularly want you watch me, shall we, as we do these last two verses together. Okay, choir.